Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Very, very warm welcome to everybody. It's lovely to see church so full, and a special warm welcome to family and friends of Connor. The latest copy of the fun-filled church news is back with glorious photographs of our day trip to Bognor. So don't miss that. There are copies at the back in the foyer that you can collect on your way out. Some sad news. The husband of Pauline, who teaches our line dancing class, he's died. So please remember Pauline in your prayers. This Saturday, there's a Macmillan coffee morning. And some of our regular customers will be running this event in the foyer, so do try and drop in to support them. And now I think Janine would like to give us a notice about the shoebox appeal.
Hello, good morning. That's that time of year again. I know you're all dying to fill a shoebox. There are plenty, we've got them in the hall, and they should all have a leaflet in, but please check, because, you know, we're not infallible, we do make mistakes, so check that there's a leaflet in there. If you want to know about wrapping properly, please come and see me or Sally, because I can't tell you how much easier it makes our lives if they are packed properly and the right money is on them and the, and the return and labels and all that sort of thing are done correctly, because it's frustrating in the extreme to sit there with a scalpel trying to undo things that have been stuck down so well that they're never going to come undone. Okay, so just be aware of that. The cost has gone up this year from £2 to £3 because of rising transport costs, and also when people delivered the boxes last year, there were so many people who were living in utter poverty that they felt that they had to go and buy beds and mattresses and things. So that extra pound is to cover anything that they need to do on the ground. So please go and get your boxes. Don't just take them for friends, ask them first if they want to do them, because that means otherwise I shall have said that offer more leaflets. I want to get over 100 this year. We got 96 last. So please, please, please think about this and do it. It's very rewarding. Thank you.
We join together to worship God, and these are the words from the psalmist. Praise the Lord. Yes, give praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We join together to sing, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Becca's choice. You knew that was coming. When you come at this event, you thought, I know what we'll sing. Definitely, definitely. Yes, sure enough. Here it is.
Thank you.
We say together the psalm. Praise the Lord, you servants of the Lord, praise God's name. God's name be praised now and forever. From the east to the west, praise the name of the Lord. The Lord rules over all the nations. God's glory is above the heavens. There is no one like the Lord our God. God lives in heights above, but God bends down to see the heavens and the earth. God raises the poor from the dust. God lifts the needy from their misery and makes them companions of princes, the prince of God's people. God honors the childless wife in her home. God makes her happy by giving her children. Praise the Lord. Have a seat. We join together to pray. Let us pray. Here we are, pausing to reflect on you and family and life in a sacred space between one week and the next, to reflect on what has been and think about what will be. And we, people who live with the grey areas of our lives, we gather in the light of your love. And sometimes we feel that we are unworthy. And sometimes we come overwhelmed by the wrong that we've done and the compromises that we have had to make. Forgive us. And remind us and reassure us that you are God, whose nature is love and mercy and welcome. So bless the worship that we offer, for it comes in Jesus' name. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. What about moving your chairs over so you can get a better view? What do you reckon? Not there, just there. There's lovely. There's beautiful. Do you want to turn around so you can see better? Finn, you might want to come up here. Got water? Got water and prepared to splash with it? Ooh, what do you think? Second row in case I only get... Oh, no, I won't, I promise you. Yes, I know I messed up the spelling of his name on the order of service. I know that. But the good... Yes, I did. The Connor, to put two N's. Last, never coming back. I get that. The good news is I didn't mess it up on the baptismal certificate. Hurrah! We believe that everybody is loved by God, regardless of their age, regardless of their abilities, regardless of what they believe. We believe that everybody is loved by God. And it's a sign that Connor is loved by God, that he will be welcomed through the rite of baptism. His parents will make promises. Godparents will make promises. And we, the church, we will make promises. Right from the beginning, Whole families were baptized. Everybody. It was the day when somebody came to faith and they baptized everybody, which probably included the servants too. That's another debate for another time. But they certainly would have included their children in that baptism. Right from the start, this promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. You're right. Absolutely everybody. So, would you like to come up? It's beautiful. Would you like to bring up your godparents? Up we come. Going to just tell you, he hasn't just gone round the room and gone, I love you. No, you know, I know that was the vibe, but it's not how it is. Beautiful. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to bless this water. So let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your love in all creation. We thank you for the gift of water that sustains, refreshes, and cleanses all life. We who have clean water in our taps easily take water for granted. But we celebrate it this day. And we remember those around the world for whom the issue is not scarcity of water, but those for whom the water is rising. And we give you thanks that the Christian message is not just for gathering on a Sunday morning, but is to change the way that we view the whole of creation. So we know that water is also a metaphor of cleansing and your power. And we remember Jesus, who was baptized by John in the Jordan. And we remember that his baptism was fulfilled in him giving of his life for us. So we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit on this water, that Connor James, being born anew of water and the Spirit, may always remain in the number of your faithful people, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you our God be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. So Rebecca, Tim, you've come for the baptism of your son, as you've been before, once or twice, and you've also been for the baptism of Finn, in response to the call of Christ and the leading of the Spirit. So let us hear you confess your faith in Christ, and this is a promise to all of you. Do you believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, maker of heaven and earth, redeemer of the world, and giver of life? And to you too. Do you promise to teach Connor the love of God and to bring him up in the worship and the life of the church? And to you. Do you promise to pray for Connor and his home and his family and to support them as you are able? For in that moment, you will be ministers of God's love. And to you, good people. Whether you're here on a Sunday or not, at this moment, feel the responsibility on your shoulders. At this moment, you represent the universal church, right? With that being said, as a community of faith, representing the whole church, do you welcome Connor and promise to share with him what you have received, the gift of God's love revealed in Christ? Beautiful. Here we go. Oh, lovely boy. Yeah, oh, gorgeous. Gorgeous. Yes. Should we do this? No, 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 no. Been there, done that. Let's take this. Finn, 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 Finn. Look, look, look. Look here. What's happening here? Connor James, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to sing a blessing. You just stay seated. We'll sing. And the next thing we're going to do is we're going to pray. So let's pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks and praise for Connor. In all his health and vitality, we thank you. And we thank you for Rebecca coming through labour, recovering. For Rebecca, Tim, and Finn settling down to family life, now the four of them. We pray that you would bless them in their life together. Give them wisdom for the challenges that are ahead. Give them patience and give them the security of love and help them in the raising of Connor and Finn, that they would grow in health and strength and come to full Christian maturity. And we offer our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, this microphone's very attractive. Very attractive. We're going to sing. We'll sing first, since we're on a bit of a roll. Could you stand for this one? This is a hymn that you might not know, but if you were at Finn's baptism, you've sung it before. So here we have it. Next time I'm around your house, I expect these up. That's a wee job. Just to remind you and to tell those of you who don't know, this isn't Unite Reformed Church baptism. This is Christian baptism. So the certificate has on the back of it all the churches that are part of the fact that we have unity in baptism in Britain today. Hurrah. Thank you. And as part of the fulfilling of our promises, we are equipping. What do we think this might be? You're in church, there's two answers. It's either Jesus or it's a Bible, isn't that right? Bible! Yeah, you're just a pack horse today, man. Which we think, maybe this might be better for now. And then there's this one. What do we think? Who do we think this might be for? What do we think? Ha ha! You were right! You were right, Finn. It is yours. Yeah. Woohoo! Top dollar. Right. Why don't you good people have a seat? There's something... You know what? I know you all love to stay in and listen to me preach. But see you later. Yes. Can't say I blame you. How dare you? So this passage from Luke's Gospel is a strange one. Jesus is speaking to the disciples rather than the crowd. And it's a story that's difficult to understand, difficult to get head round. But it might be a story that those of us who know what it is to live with compromise need to hear. It's easy for people to think that Christianity is all about purity and holiness and being holier than thou. But the real challenge is to find a way to be faithful to God in a society where we are caught up with unjust systems and unfair ways. Ray Taylor will read this passage to us.
The shrewd manager. Jesus said to his disciples, there was once a rich man who had a servant who managed his property. The rich man was told that the manager was wasting his master's money. So he called him in and said, what is this I hear about you? Hand in a complete account of your handling of my property, because you cannot be my manager any longer. The servant said to himself, my master is going to dismiss me from my job. What shall I do? I am not strong enough to dig ditches, and I'm ashamed to beg. Now I know what I will do. Then, when my job is gone, I shall have friends who will welcome me in their home. So he called in all the people who were in debt to his master. He asked the first one, how much do you owe my master? 100 barrels of olive oil, he answered. Here is your account. The manager told him, sit down and write 50. Then he asked another one, and how much do you owe? 1,000 sacks of wheat, he answered. Here is your account, the manager told him. Write 800. As a result, the master of this dishonest manager praised him for doing such a shrewd thing, because the people of this world are much more shrewd in handling their affairs than the people who belong to the light. And Jesus went on to say, and so I tell you, make friends for yourselves with worldly wealth, so that when it gives out, you will be welcome in the eternal home. Whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. Whoever is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in large ones. If then you have not been faithful in handling worldly wealth, how can you be trusted with true wealth? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what belongs to you? No servant can be the slave of two masters. He will hate one and love the other. He will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Amen.
Amen. One of the strange ways that the scholars work on the New Testament is that if a piece of teaching is difficult, then it's likely to be genuine Jesus material. Because the early church would never have invented it. They would never have invented that story. Just wouldn't have happened. So what does it mean? And who is being affirmed in it? And why are they being affirmed? So the one thing that comes over is that the steward is prepared to go far to protect himself. And it comes over that he is a desperate man. This is the story that is of the splashing of a drowning man as he thrashes in the moral waters, trying to find a way to keep himself and his family alive. So a bit of a bigger context. Luke's gospel, divided into chapters, of course. Chapter 15 is the bit that's just gone before this has got the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the story that most people would know, the story that we usually call the prodigal son. So Jesus says those stories, and then this happens. Jesus is talking about slavery. The Roman Empire was based on slavery. And that's yet another strange element to this story that makes it even more hideous. So we get this story, which is about honesty, or ducking and diving, bobbing and weaving, with the background of a bland assumption that people were kept as slaves. It's not condemned. Of course there were slaves who broke the law. They stole food. Who would blame them? So when the question is raised, the assumption is that that slaves, yes, of course, they were lazy, and they cheated. That was just the culture assumption. There's no sense that the master is going to hold an independent inquiry about this matter. The man's accused. The assumption is that whoever made the accusation is right. The man will be punished. And as it says in the story, expects that he'll be demoted and put back to work in the fields. In the corrupt world that we live in, who is morally pure? Our lifestyles exploit the weakest. We keep the water rising. We keep their food short. And those who have escaped the terrible places of the world, doing all sorts of dubious things to get here, are treated badly. For Connor, as he grows, as we live, he will know what it is to be faced with difficult choices. He needs people who will guide him and give him the tools to choose to do what is right rather than what is easy. Christian people don't believe that we're better than others. We believe that God loves us all and that in the darkness and the light of the world, God is present and can be at work Our job is to spot that and join in. And in some places, that would mean that we believe that we are called to contradict the law. There are higher causes even than the law of the land. Laws not to be broken lightly, for they have a purpose, but it is sometimes temporary. And at the back of this passage are attitudes to bonded labour, which in the future, as in today, we look at in sheer horror. But once, they were accepted. And the question is, what things that we do now, easily and lightly, will, in the future, we look at in horror and disbelief? I'll pick up a second thread in a moment, but for now, let us pray. So let's pray for the leaders of our world. Trying to work out what is right, give them the courage to go with the greater good, that rather than that which is expedient to their party and their own short-term political gain. Inspire them to make peace and justice a priority. We pray for the voiceless of our world. Subjected to violent and corrupt leaders, give them a voice and help them in their quest for justice. And we pray for those who in Britain today are trapped in slavery. And those around the world for whom slavery is their prison. And we ask that you would strengthen all those working to liberate and to challenge unjust structures. Have mercy on us, O God. Remind us again of the good news and inspire us again to do the good that we can. With courage and to keep on going. Lord, we pray. Amen. I think we should sing. Then I'll come back to this. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. We join to sing. Have a seat. The second thread I would pull out this reading is the reminder that it's complicated. The reminder that life is complicated. There's lots of sloppy, lazy, dualistic thinking of in, out, right, wrong, and that doesn't pay attention to the reality of life. Plenty of us know what it is to love somebody and then have them vote in a way that, in all sincerity, we find incomprehensible. Mm-mm-mm. Were we wrong to love them? Or is it possible to love someone who does some things that we just don't understand and then still love them? So in the story of the morally dubious person, he does things that are good for those that he helps. He literally is Robin Hood. He steals from the rich and he gives to the poor, is one interpretation of that story. Another one is that he gives away his cut of the profits to make friends. Can you buy friends? This story is not a story for beginners, but then neither is parenting or forming a relationship or being a conscious citizen or voting. Complexity is our reality. Wouldn't it be great if life was all about white hats and black hats? But it's not. Adolf Hitler said some really wise things. Martin Luther King, in some aspects of his life, behaved really badly. Christian people believe in the reality of sin, which is more than moral failing. Sin is about human beings' ability to muck things up. So you love someone with all your heart, and then they tell you that they found your love smothering. And you give your life to a cause, and you work hard for it and passionately, and then later you find out that the basis of it was flawed. It happens. So what do we do? Well, there are three lazy paths in front of us. They are three fundamentalist paths. Two based on faith, one based socially. The two lazy paths that avoid complexity are fundamentalist religion and fundamentalist atheism. They're both lazy and they both pay no attention to the in and the out, the right and the wrong, that is God at work, right at work, good at work, in a whole range of different and interesting places. The third lazy path is the path that I will describe as the path of meh. That sort of cynical, shrug shoulders, can't really be bothered, won't really commit, won't really get all in. I will just stick with the path of meh. Lazy solutions because the whole thing is complicated. To reject all effort to learn more, to explore, to shrug your shoulders and say, everybody who tries, they're all idiots. And that is the end of art, creativity. I will do nothing because if I try, I guarantee I will fall. So what do we do then if these three paths are lazy and not the right ones? We live with the conundrums, knowing that we try and knowing that we fail. We love knowing that our hearts will be broken by death, if by nothing else. We know that life is lived to the full in the giving and the receiving of life. And Connor and Finn need their family, their faith, to help them in the brave, inspiring journey that is life as it is lived in the reality on the earth. Need their family. They need the faith. They need supporters who will gently share what they have tentatively come to as the foundations of their lives, knowing that there might be more if they gave it the time and the energy. People who are interested in exploring, regardless of their age. For that is the way that a good life is lived. The question for each of us is, are we brave enough? Let us pray. Lord, each of us is just one little person in a big world. And we know what it is to feel vulnerable and to feel insecure. We know what it is to want to fit in. And we know what it is to do things that we're not actually proud of. And we know what it is to get lazy in our thinking and to stop exploring. Help us. Guide us. And give us good companions along the way. And we pray that we would be good companions for Connor and Finn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. Lord, we know that money can be used for all sorts of bad things, but it can also be used for all sorts of good things. We know that our talents and gifts, we could not use them, or we could use them for destruction and for the dark forces of the universe. But we ask that you would take us, the people that we are, in our brokenness and foolishness, take the resources that we have and give us the courage to use them well. We know it won't be perfect, but let it be the best that we can offer. Amen. Our final hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me? Peace, to love and serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, be with us and those who we love, wherever they are. Amen.